Thank you, Doreen. Very beautiful. Welcome to SUMAS CRC. We are glad you're here on Good Friday. We were just reminded here a couple of minutes ago that this is probably the most sobering of services that we will have here during the year as we reflect on tonight the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it is appropriate to be somber in that because we have Sunday to look forward to, but it was appropriate for there to be sorrow and somberness as we reflect on that and what our Lord went through to pay the price for our sins and to pay the price for our depravity. From Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no mercy, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. You can all stand, by the way. Thank you.
Shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thy only crown. O sacred head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine, yet through despised and sinners gain. My mind was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy save to me thy grace. I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without. Fainting be, oh, let me never. sun in darkness hide and shed its glories in. Christ the great Redeemer died for man the creature's sin. Might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears? Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. Drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
And now from Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Let us read together this prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises. Declare unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And from Psalm chapter 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity.
Ready stands to save you, full of pardoning love for all. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more.
Seated. This evening, we're going to spend some time meditating on the first verse of Psalm 22. But Psalm 22 is well worth your meditation. They didn't have cameras or videos back when Jesus Christ died. But Psalm 22 is a photograph, not just of the event, but it's a photograph of the mind of Christ while he hung on the cross. It's more than just a photograph that I would take with my camera. It's more than a video that I might take with my camera. Psalm 22 is a revelation of the person of Christ and the misery that he hung as he hung on the cross. And what we also need to understand is Psalm 22 sets forth Jesus' agony. His agony because of his covenantal relationship with the Father, and his agony because of the imminence of the peril of his crucifixion and those around the cross who blasphemed and hated him. Also within the psalm, we have the three offices of Christ. We have the prophetical office, that Jesus is the last word from God, that Jesus is the one who speaks the word of God, and he is the word of God. Also, we have verses that have to do with his priestly office, that he is our high priest. And as you read the record of the crucifixion, you will remember when Christ died and dismissed his spirit, the temple curtain between the Holy of Holies and the holy place was ripped in two. Also in this psalm, it closes with the kingship of the triumphant Christ. Psalm 22 is well worth our time and effort. But this evening, we're only going to spend time with verse 1. But I am going to read the whole psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouth, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. Oh, my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised nor abandoned the afflicted of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For the kingdom is of the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive, a posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word you do foretell of Christ. We know that the Old Testament is the shadow of the reality, and within the Old Testament, we have these specific references to the Messiah and specific references to the person of Christ as he lived and moved among us and he died on the cross and rose again. We thank you that you do reveal these things to us, and we do not have to speculate, but we do have to study to show ourselves unto you a workman that needs not to be ashamed. We thank you for your mercies as demonstrated at the cross of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen. The phrase, the first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Consider yourself at the foot of the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross in the third hour. And in the third hour until the sixth hour, three words came from the cross. They were words of grace. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ Jesus interceded for those who nailed him to that tree. He interceded for those who had decided to crucify him. His mercy and compassion were in that phrase, Father, forgive them. His grace was manifested to the thief on the cross when the thief said that, would you please remember me when you come into your kingdom? Christ Jesus responded as he hung on the cross. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the third word of grace was as he beheld his mother and his disciple whom he loved, he said, disciple, my mother, mother, disciple. And the disciple took his mother into his home. That was the first 3 hours. The sixth hour came. What happened at the sixth hour? The sixth hour, darkness covered the face of the earth. We read that, and some of us think it must have been just dark in Israel. The original language suggests that it was the whole planet was under darkness. The whole planet. You see, darkness in the scriptures is a manifestation of God's judgment. Remember the darkness in Egypt? That was one of the plagues. And then in the scriptures, we also hear of a time when Hezekiah prayed and the sun backed up. And then there was Joshua who was fighting, and he asked the Lord that the sun would stand still. God controls the sun, moon, and stars, and he controls the darkness. And when Christ hung on the cross at the sixth hour, darkness covered the face of the earth. And for 3 hours, there's darkness. There's darkness. You're at the foot of the cross. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? You heard this one on the cross give three words of grace. And now at the sixth hour, there's darkness. What are you thinking? 3 hours go by, and it's the ninth hour. And the silence from the cross is broken. And Jesus Christ, in a loud voice, it could be rendered in a scream. What does he say? He says, my God. Why have you forsaken me? What is this about? Why is this word, what is uttered from the cross after 3 hours of darkness, after 6 hours of hanging on the cross, and out comes this loud voice? my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Now, any good Hebrew who was standing at the foot of the cross would have known that Jesus was quoting from Psalm 22. You see, the Hebrews didn't have chapters and verses. They had first lines. And Jesus, when he quotes this first line from Psalm 22, any good Hebrew who was immersed in the Old Testament would have known he was referencing Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is a graphic picture of what Christ was suffering on the cross. My God, what can we learn from this, and why do we even need to meditate upon it? Well, first of all, we need to understand that in spite of his pain, in spite of his sorrow, Jesus held on to his God. Remember, after the resurrection, he says, "My God and your God," to the disciples. You see, Jesus on the cross held on to his God. We need to understand and look and contemplate on Jesus' faith. It deserves our reverent attention. He was the Son of God, begotten, not made. And as he hung on the cross, his Father forsook him. But Jesus clung to my God. He had no doubt about his God. None. No doubt. God may have forsaken him, but Jesus clung to his God. You see, he says, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You need to understand that the word El is used with malice aforethought. El is a name for God, and it means strength. That's what it means. So when he says, "Eloi, Eloi," it's my strong God. It's the name of the mighty God. And he was appealing to his mighty God. And his appeal is not because of his doubt. His appeal is because of his grief. His grief. Remember his ministry? As he lived and moved among the people of Judah and Jerusalem and Samaria and the Perea and Caesarea Philippi, the Father was always part of his conversation. Always. I don't do anything that I'm not told to do. I do what my Father wants me to do. My Father and I are one. And as he hung on the cross, it's, "Why did you forsake me?" It's not because he doubted. It's because he was grieved. He was grieved. It's a mystery. Okay? It's a mystery. We need to be content with the mystery. The Trinity was not broken. The man Christ Jesus bore your sins upon the cross. It's the man Christ Jesus who says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's the man Christ Jesus who bore your sin. It's the man Christ Jesus who died. That's why he had flesh, so that he could die. And we need to remember that there is a man recorded in the Old Testament who utters a similar thought. Job. Remember what Job said? Though he slay me, I will trust him. Think about that. Consider what's being said. Though God himself would slay me, I will trust God. That's what Job said. Jesus Christ from the cross, as he was bearing our sin in great agony, he goes, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He holds on to that covenant God. He holds on to the God who sustained him in ministry. He holds on to the God that gives him life. He holds on to the God that created the body so that he could die. He holds on to that God. But what about the question? Why? Why? Why have you forsaken me? What is the cause that the Father forsook the Son? What motivated the Father to turn his back upon his Son? Why is the Son hanging on the cross after 6 hours of suffering, 3 in blackness, 3 words of grace? Why? Well, we need to remember what the scripture says. Jesus Christ became sin for us and bore our iniquity. You see, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he was bearing your blasphemy. He was bearing your lust. He was bearing your anger, your malice, my malice, my anger. He was bearing my envy. He was bearing your envy. He was bearing all of your sin. God the Father poured his wrath on his Son. And we need to remember what the scripture tells us. God cannot look on sin. He cannot. He is a holy God, and he cannot look on sin. And Christ Jesus became sin for us. Is it any wonder that the Father turned his back on his Son? Because his Son became sin. His Son became sin. There is nothing in the Son, nothing in the person of Christ, that would warrant God to forsake him. Nothing. But he bore our sin. Do you remember? It was read this evening. The curse. Back in Genesis 3. The curse. And the scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy that one who hangs upon a tree is a curse. Think about this. Death has a hold of us, each one of us. The consequences of the curse are myriad. Do you have pain? That's because of the curse. Do you have weeds in your yard? That's because of the curse. Do women have pain in childbirth? That's because of the curse. Do you have sweat of the brow? That's because of the curse. Do you go to a graveyard and watch people get put in the grave? That's because of the curse. And if you attend my funeral and you watch me go into the grave, I'm going into the grave because I am a sinner. My body is under the curse. My body is cursed. Jesus Christ became a curse for me. How did he become a curse? He was sinless. He fulfilled the law for me. He fulfilled it for you. Everything he did was in obedience to his Father. Death had no claim on him, no claim at all. Death has a claim on me. Death has a claim on you. There's no way out of this life except through death, unless Christ comes again. But it's a one-to-one ratio. If you were born of a woman, you will die. It's a one-to-one ratio. You are under a curse. But Jesus Christ was without sin. How did death have a claim on him? Death had a claim on him the moment he was nailed to that cross. The moment they lifted him up on the cross, he hung on a cross. He hung on a tree, and he became a curse. So he became a legitimate Lamb of God. Legitimate. So let's answer the question. The question is, why have you forsaken me? Well, if you read that correctly, you'll see that Jesus was feeling the effect of the punishment and wrath of God. Remember? 3 hours of darkness, not a peep from the cross. And at the end of those 3 hours of darkness, Jesus says, "Why have you forsaken me?" The Father had already turned his back. It was past tense. Why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken because he became sin. You see, Judas had left him. Peter had left him. Others had left him. But now the Father had left him. All the powers of hell, God's wrath, were poured out on this one. All of them. Hell itself was endured by Jesus. My just reward. My just reward is an eternity in hell. That's my just reward. And Jesus Christ bore my sin, my just reward, and he endured his Father turning his back because of my sin, my envy, my malice, my blaspheming, my taking God's name in vain, my setting somebody and something in front of God, and my disobedience to parents, my murder, my lies, and yours too. Yours too. He bore them all. You see, it's by faith that we know the answer to this question. We know the answer to this question because we believe that Christ Jesus became sin for us. So when Jesus asked from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? As a child of God, I can stand up and I can answer the question. What is the answer to the question? You became forsaken by your Father because of my sin. That's why the Father forsook you. We need to gaze in wonder and amazement. We need to consider. We need to sit at the foot of the cross. We need to contemplate 3 hours of silence and darkness. We need to contemplate the three words of grace. And we need to consider the three words that follow. What are the three words that follow? I thirst. Why did he say I thirst? Because the scripture said that he would say I thirst. That's why he said I thirst. That's in John 19. That's why he said I thirst. He said it because the scripture said he was going to. What else did he say? It is finished. What is finished? The law. The law was satisfied. Jesus Christ had lived in obedience to the law. He fulfilled the law, and then he died to take the penalty of the law. Because the law says that the sinner who breaks the law shall die. That's what the law says. And Jesus Christ died for me, for you. You see, Jesus became a curse for us. We were under the law and we were under a curse. And Jesus Christ becomes a curse for us. And because he became a curse for us, I am no longer under that curse. As a matter of fact, if you are a child of God and no longer under the curse, you already possess eternal life. It's yours. Remember what Jesus said to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's all the dead people. What about the living? He that believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. And according to the book of Ephesians, because I am a new creation in Jesus Christ, and because Christ died for me, I am already seated in the heavens. Figure that one out. Go ahead. Figure it out. You, as God's child, are already seated with Christ in the heavens. If you want more information, come Sunday night. Because that's going to be the subject of Sunday night. But Christ Jesus, as he hung on the cross, he goes, why? And the answer to the question is because I sinned. The answer to the question is you sinned. That's why the Father forsook him. There are consequences to us. And the consequences of the birth and death and life of Christ are myriad. But I'd like to bring two to your attention. Do you remember at the baptism of Christ, as Jesus came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Guess what you are? You are a beloved child of God. That's what you are. You are a beloved child of God because Christ Jesus died for you. You are a beloved child of God because Jesus Christ endured the cross, despised the pain for the joy that would come afterwards. You are beloved. Don't ever tell me as a child of God that nobody loves you. Why do you despise the love of God? Maybe nobody human loves you, but God loves you. Which would you prefer? Everybody in the world loving you and God hate you? Or everybody in the world hate you and God love you? Which would you prefer? I would prefer God love me. You are beloved. And there's something else. Listen to what Jesus says. My God, why have you forsaken me? You never, as God's child, have to complain that God forsake you. Never. Here is the promise of God to you as God's child. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. You're in the bottom of a well, like Joseph. No way out, no water. Guess who's with Joseph? You're in an elevator stuck, can't get a hold of anybody, and you're dark, the lights went out, the elevator's not working. You're not alone. Your lover is with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Why? Because Jesus Christ endured being forsaken by the Father on your behalf. And you have the promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, my dear brother, sisters, we claim to live by faith, don't we? We claim that. And my question for you is, do you really live that? Do you really cling to God's word? Are you like Christ and in a desperate situation of your life with no way out? You're depressed, you're overwhelmed by circumstances. Do you cling to that God that you profess to serve? It's a question that needs to be answered. I can take you through all kinds of people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, who had to face that question. But you need to deal with that question all your own. You need to deal with it all your own. Because as you meditate upon the cross, you are looking, you are observing, and you're listening to the Son of God who took upon himself the form of a man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself unto death, the death of the cross, and he did it for you. If there was nobody else in the world and you were the only sinner, he still would have died for you. Do you believe it? You profess it? That's not the question. The question is, do you believe it? It's not a matter of what you profess. It's a matter of what you believe. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we praise you and thank you that Jesus Christ was obedient unto death. We know your word tells us that the reason he came from heaven to earth was to die. That's why he came. And he came that we might live. We who are your children were dead in trespasses and sins. We were children of wrath. And because Christ died and we have responded in faith, we are alive in him. And we are no longer children of wrath, but we are children who are beloved in Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for the expectation of his soon return. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. At this time, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And I've been asked to inform you that when we pass the wine, when we pass the element of the grape juice wine, the wine is on the outside rim. Everything inside is grape juice. When Jesus Christ Before he was crucified, he celebrated a Passover with his apostles. And it was the last legitimate Passover. Every Passover since is illegitimate, unnecessary. He observed the last Passover. And during the last Passover, when he took the bread, he said, "This is my body broken for you." And we learn in 1 Peter that in his body he bore our sin. That's why he became a human. He became a human so that he could die. He became a human so that he could be the sacrificial lamb, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ took the bread and he broke it. And because of his broken body, because he died on the cross, you and I look forward to a time when this mortal coil will become immortal, incorruptible, and will not fade away. Because he died. And this mortal coil, if I go the way of all flesh, will deteriorate, but I will be in his presence. You see, I possess eternal life now. And as God's child, so do you. We do this in remembrance of him. Father, we praise you and thank you that you did love us and send forth your Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We thank you and praise you that you poured your wrath out on him and not on those who believe on him. We thank you that we who are your children by faith in Jesus Christ are in him. We are new creations in Christ Jesus, and therefore we look forward to a resurrected body. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more illness, and death will be the last enemy to be destroyed. We thank you for this hope. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. During the same meal, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." What was that about? What about this new covenant? The writer to the Hebrews tells us that the old covenant's obsolete. The new covenant takes the place of the old. And we no longer have hearts of stone, we have hearts of flesh. We no longer need to read the law in stone, we have the law of God in our hearts. We no longer have the law as something that we have to perform to merit God's pleasure. We have God's law in our hearts, and we want to serve him. It's our desire to serve him. We want to please the one who loved us and died for us. The new covenant in his blood is the guarantee that the covenant is eternal and that he is the one who maintains the covenant. He's the one who made the covenant. He's the one who walked through the ditch with blood in the ditch so that his robe has blood on the bottom of his robe, and he did that for you. It's the new covenant in his blood, and it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. And because we are washed in his blood, we are cleansed from all our sin. All our sin. We do this in remembrance of the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Forgive me. I get wound up. I'm sorry. No, I'm fine. I'm sorry. It's not the first time I made a boo-boo. We do this in remembrance of the Lord Christ. We praise you and thank you, Father, for the shed blood of your Son. We thank you that his blood cleanses us from all sin. All sin in the past, all sin in the present, all sin in the future. And we would ask, Lord, that we would not be those who would say we have no sin and therefore become liars, but that we would be convicted of our sins and we would confess them, knowing that when we confess them, you do forgive. You pardon us. So we praise you and thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for your love, which is poured out through Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you have us in the palm of your hand and that we are the apple of your eye. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing. Father, we thank you for gathering us here this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to look, to behold, to meditate on the cross. We know, Father, that the cross was at one time an instrument of great sorrow and grief, and men and women were crucified because they were disobedient to the civil government. But because of the work of Jesus Christ, the cross has become a symbol of love, mercy, and grace. We thank you and praise you for this transformation in that symbol. And we ask, Lord, that as we consider that transformation, that we ourselves would be transformed by the risen Christ. And that old things will pass away, and behold, all things will be new. And that we would put those things behind us and press forward to the high calling of your Son. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. The Lord be with you all.